that we'll read up front. The first one is from John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Can I say that again? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, King James mansions. If it were not so, what have I told you, that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am. And then a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in 6. Therefore, we are always confident and know, I said always confident and know, that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. The life of the believer in Jesus is characterized by a number of things, but the one that I want to highlight today is the hope of eternal life in heaven with Jesus. This text that we read in John 14, Jesus had gathered his disciples around him. Say family. It was an intimate and a special time together with Jesus. And yet looming over them like a cloud are his words that indicate that their time together was coming to an end. Friends, our time on this earth is temporary. It comes to an end. Jesus knew that his earthly time was ending. And his first words in this teaching family time were, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." That idea, that thought, and similarly, "Do not fear," have been words that have emerged time and time again as the Holy Spirit has led us through the Word these last few months. God's been teaching us not to walk in fear, not to dread the future. And he's been teaching us to have a heavenly mindset, not an earthly mindset. And then in this John passage, Jesus reassures the disciples that they would be together again with him in the place that he is going to prepare. And right about at this time, I would be interrupted. My sermon would be interrupted at this point. And in a passionate and determined voice, even as weak as she had become, Wilma would say, "Pastor Scott, I'm sorry, but I just can't keep quiet." Wilma would share with all of us what the Lord had done in her life. She would say how much she loves the church and all of her church family. She would say how she had experienced the touch of Jesus in her life. She would tell us how much she loves the Lord and that she's looking forward to heaven. As you know, as you all know, this is my first venture into a lead pastor role. And if I said I knew that I was doing, I would be shading the truth a little. But I know this. From the first day that Ron and I ventured into this room, we knew it was family. And that family has wrapped its arms around us from day one, but the most skilled person at wrapping arms around was Wilma. Included in the hug was that little back rub, which we all will miss. I gotta tell you, I wasn't sure what to make of Wilma on those first couple of Sundays. But I'll tell you, she seemed to take in every word that I preached as a novice beginning preacher. There would come an amen, a praise the Lord, or a that's right, Pastor. I remember her saying that a couple of times. You see, when you're a preacher or a worship leader, and I know much more about the worship leader piece, When you're a preacher or a worship leader, there are those folks out there in the crowd that you know you can depend on for a little eye to eye, a little nod, maybe a little amen. You can depend on for a little raise of the hand when the Lord showed up. That was Alice Burrell at Day Spring. I don't know if any of you have met Sister Alice. Alice is still alive, still worships at Day Spring, and I could count on Alice Burrell being engaged in worship on Sunday morning. We used to use a term regarding worship leading. On some of those Sundays when y'all weren't with it yet, we used to call it stirring concrete. Leading worship as a worship leader and trying to get folks to engage was like not with Alice Burrell, not with Wilma Mays. From note one of the first song, huh? Praise the Lord. The sermons became conversations, and many of you join in as well, and I expect you will continue. Second passage that we read this morning were Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 6 says, therefore we are always confident. It's hard to be confident when it hurts. It's hard to be confident when you don't know what the future holds on this earth. But Paul says here, we are always confident. Okay, Paul, what are we always confident of, Paul? That as long as we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord, and we live by faith, not by sight. Did I mention I need to preach a couple of sermons on faith sometimes? I did mention that. And then he says, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Away from the body, at home with the Lord. This world is not our home. But if our perspective is an earthly perspective, the world and the things in it become our home. What we long for. I believe that Wilma had a heavenly perspective. That's why she spoke so emotionally about how good God had been to her. She longed for her heavenly home. And she is there now, rewarded, fulfilled, totally healed. It says we live by faith, not by sight. Well, friends, eventually our faith becomes sight, becomes fulfillment, becomes completion, as it has for our sister and our friend. Faith has become sight. So that leaves us. Say, that leaves us. Well, Wilma would tell us, I think she'd tell us to grieve fully, to hurt and to cry and remember, maybe even to question, but to emerge from grieving with hope. Here's a scripture that I want you to grab hold of today. Family, let's take this one to heart. Words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep on him. Grieve, but not like those who don't have any hope. And I want you to think for a moment, if you've known of any people grieving with no hope. Therefore, we are among the privileged, because yes, we grieve, but we grieve with hope. And Paul, remember what Paul said in that earlier passage we read? I want to say, commentary according to Pastor Scott, confident hope. Say confident hope. In fact, let's take it another step. Assured hope. Assured hope. Don't grieve like those who don't have any hope, folks. Don't grieve like you don't know what has happened. Don't grieve like you don't know where she is. Grieve like those who have hope. How can you smile and cry at the same time? I don't know. I don't have that figured out yet. Don't grieve like those who have no hope. I've said all through the years, I have no idea how people make it through tragedy, unspeakable loss, without the hope that Jesus offers. But we do have that hope. We have ultimate hope. We have assured hope, the promise of everlasting life in heaven with him. Therefore, we grieve, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope. Psychologists tell us there are various stages to the grieving process, and I'm sure that you've heard of those, and I'm not going to walk us through them. But here's what Paul's words say to me today. No matter how you grieve, grieve with hope. Healthy grieving emerges with ultimate hope. That we will be reunited. That there is a place for us in heaven. Now, again, family. Say family. We have all seen people pull away from church when they are hurting. I would suggest this. Ultimate hope is shared hope. It is family hope. You are blessed with a family, and you all in this room are blessed to have had a friend who were who taught you to love one another with a fierce, unending dedication. That was Wilma. Don't you dare let Wilma down. I can hear her interrupting my sermon again right now. She would say, "Pastor Scott, I just can't keep quiet." She would say, "Keep on praising." She would say to you this morning, "Keep on loving one another." She would say, "Don't you dare separate from one another." She would say that to you this morning. Don't you dare. She would say that she's okay and that she's experiencing that ultimate assured hope. As I said earlier this morning, I didn't intend this to be a funeral, but I had every intention of celebrating and remembering because we are a and Wilma loved her family. She loved her church family. She loved all of us. And I appreciate so much that that's been expressed by several of you today. I've not pastored a small church before. But I know one thing. The love dynamic in our body is very special. I know something else. This family is not the only family that we're going to have to walk through loss with. This family is not the only family. Sub-family. Is that a good word? This is not the only sub-family of our family that will go through sad times, difficult times. Wilma would say, love one another fiercely, passionately, care for one another. I've seen remarkable occurrences of caring for one another just in the year that we've been here. And I say, on one hand, keep it up, but I say, on another hand, what's the church supposed to look like when part of it is struggling? What's it supposed to look like? And the example that we have in the scriptures is the example that we have in the book of Acts of the early New Testament church. And one of those passages, and we read it recently on Thursday nights as we've been studying through Acts, one of those passages said they did not consider anything belonged to them individually. It belonged to the family. It belonged to the body. And that's not to say that your stuff is my stuff and my stuff is your. It's to say that my mindset, my attitude is that I will do for you what you need because I am part of the body and we are members of one another. Dennis, Debbie, whatever you need, we are here for you. I don't think you know yet what you're gonna need. I don't think you know yet what that love needs to look like. I don't think we know yet what that love needs to look at or needs to look like. But I will tell you this. With the Holy Spirit's guidance, with the Holy Spirit moving about in our midst as a body, He will show us as a body and you guys as part of that body what is needed. And you're going through it, and guess what? The rest of us are going to go through it. Paul was confident. Paul wrote from prison thinking that his head may be lopped off tomorrow, but he was confident that Jesus had a place for him in heaven. And you and I can be confident today that He has a place for us. And I don't know if it's down the street or next door, but our sister is there. Amen. Pray with me. Father, thank you.